Hi, this is Linda Gray. This is my message. Hips are happening on the 1st of August. We haven't quite got what we wanted or what we deserve to get, but we're up and running. So go out there, help make it happen. Without us, it won't. You're all very important players in the game. You all know that, and so do the government. Good luck, everybody, and I wish you all lots of work. And anyone close enough is welcome round mine on 31st to celebrate the launch.
Welcome, everybody. This is podcast one of two possible alternative endings. If you're listening to this, we're away. Else you're listening to it on DVD in 20 years' time as the lost episodes. Today, I have the two original bad boys that came on to the first podcast we did. I thought it was only fitting that they should come on and mark this occasion with us all. To my left, Jim Gillespie. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Mike. Hello, everybody.
Good to have you back, Jim. And, of course, from the south, Neil Kurtz. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, mate. Now, I'm just moving to my little stage props, which I call a sink in case this goes wrong. I don't drink. Well, I haven't drank for about 3 years. I'm not teetotal or a recovering alcoholic or anything. But this, I just want you to hear this. This is on you, chaps. This is from me to you, saying congratulations. I'm breaking a habit, and I'm going to celebrate with you all over a can of premium lager from Bag and Booze. You're supposed to laugh there.
I thought you had that in later.
We're laughing with you, Mike, aren't you?
This isn't the BBC, you know. Okay. Well, I thought we'd just go over some of the... Well, I'll tell you what. We've had a few messages. Why don't we just start straight off with one now? I've been canvassing some of the big players over the last, well, the latter half of last week and the beginning of, well, it's a bit an hour today, to try and muster some support from everyone. And I have to say, apart from one company who refused to do it, what do you think, lads? Should I name and shame them? Or should I just suffocate them without exposure?
Play hangman with their name, Mike. We'll get it eventually.
No, I'm not gonna mention them. They don't deserve the publicity. So there you go. If you're listening to this, you had your chance. But apart from that, everyone that I could get hold of were extremely pleased and willing to do this. Some of which I couldn't get back to in time, and some of which obviously I couldn't get hold of on at the time either. So apologies to those who couldn't get on. But we've had one from SP Property, Gregory Elliott, and I'll just play that to you now.
Throughout the planning process of HIPS, it appears that there's been a general lack of consultation with parties involved. With that almost behind us and a greater call for more transparency and a better house buying process, we need to look to the future. We're all now playing an active role in modernising the process, which should be applauded. The introduction of home information packs is just the start of a major industry reform, which SP Property Services is proud to be a part of. From the 1st of August, we need to remain confident and push forward plans that are for all properties to be included in the home information pack, and further lobby the government to make an HCR a mandatory document.
Properties, Gregory Elliott, we thank you for that message, and it was interesting. He's still fighting and calling for the HCRs, which must be uplifting for you boys, because I know that's where you began your journey on this, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good opening statement to make. I think he summed things up very well there, to be honest. Yes, we know that the HIP that they're rolling out now isn't ideal. Certainly the conditions it has been rolled out in isn't ideal, but it's a platform for the future, and let's hope we can build on it. And as he says, you know, it's the transformation of the home buying and selling process, and it begins on Wednesday.
Well, he wasn't the only one, which we'll come to the others as we go on. He wasn't the only one to mention the HDRs, which is it's got to be positive for everybody who's began their careers and began their journey in this. But let's look back at what of the long road travelled. describe to us the low and high points, if there are any high points. Jim, you began on this a long time ago now. Tell us your story.
Well, the low point obviously was the July 06 announcement. At that time, I was lying sunning myself on a beach in Greece, so I couldn't really do a great deal about it at the time. Obviously, Linda Gray, Linda's lobby group, mustered the support and tried to get everybody sort of singing off the same hymn sheet, so to speak. And from there, it's just been a series of disappointments, knee-jerk reactions, U-turns, lack of joined-up thinking. But through it all, but we're all still here, and as I say, hips are happening, and probably a lot of people listening to this are having to pinch themselves to actually believe that finally they're going to be putting what they've learned in theory into practice from Wednesday onwards.
But you were on holiday when the announcements of death came.
Yeah, the first Yvette Cooper one was July the 18th last year, so I wasn't actually in the country at the time. That's really the pivotal point, really. Everything has been going downhill since then, a lot of people would say. And, the hip has been watered down and things taken out, etc. But as I say, we've got to be positive. It's happening on Wednesday. Okay, it's a phased introduction, but that's better than no introduction at all.
Indeed. And what about you, Neil? Where did you start, and describe your low and high points?
Yeah, it was last year, Mike, actually, January. And the high point was probably finally turning up for day one of the Rick's course. And low point obviously being July, really, which was rather life-changing, to say the least. But it was going quite well till July. I was thoroughly enjoying it and looking forward to new opportunity, but it rather got turned on its head. At least we've got, I suppose, the EPCs to take us forward. It'll be nice to see if the HIP can progress as a document into something that's going to make a big difference, rather than something that's going to make a slight difference to the home buying or the home moving process.
So you started in January last year. What?
It was January that we the first module, I think, was end of January at Rick's. Yeah. We all turned up, very wide-eyed, as you can might imagine. Yeah, that's where the journey began.
What about you, Jim? When last year did you start?
Well, it was actually 2005, Mike. I was one of the first candidates for the SAVA Fast Track, a course called SAVA Fast Track 1, and that actually kicked off down at Reading University in November 2005. So by the time the July announcement came, I'd actually did all the theory stuff down at Reading Uni and SAVA at Milton Keynes, and all I had to do was my end test and my 10 HCRs. So when I read the paper on the beach in COS, it knocked me for six, as you can imagine.
Really? I mean, for both of you, this has been an extremely long wait, hasn't it? Who should I put that to, Neil?
Yeah.
We're talking, what, it's 19 months, is it?
No. Absolutely, yeah. And I think for those HIs who I was on the Rick's Safe As Course A, so it's the first course being run for new entrants, and, for those HIs and DEAs who are waiting for a proper month's income, the first month they're going to be flat-out busy is probably next February, so they won't get paid till March. So that's a heck of a... It's over 2 years since we started the course to actually get the money coming back in again. It's quite a concern. Well, obviously, a lot of people have walked away and a lot of people are in very, very difficult positions, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely, and we don't take away from that at all. Which, and Jim, even longer for you.
Yeah, as I say, there's been lots of twists and turns. As you probably know, I can... spat my dummy out when I'd heard what had happened, and several of us, well, 346 of us to be precise, pulled the resources and set up something called the Home Inspector Organisation and pushed for compensation. Sadly, we've just heard from the Parliamentary Ombudsman today that our second appeal for that compensation has been rejected. So obviously that's a bit of a bitter blow, but trying to look for the positive message in that, at least we know where we stand now. You know, HIPs are happening in Wednesday. We've got to just put that behind us and look forward and stop looking backwards.
Did they give any grounds for why they dismissed it, Jim?
No, I mean, you know, I don't want this to go off into a parliamentary rant here, but it just seems that the government can change their mind at a whim, and there's absolutely nothing that the great unwashed public of the UK can do about it.
No. Let's have another message. We got another message from Hip Hip Hooray. Yeah, Hip Hip Hooray, we're away.
Yeah.
Let's hear that.
Hi, I'm Leslie Siridimi from Hip Hip Hooray. I'm just here to wish you a happy 1st of August. HipHipHooray.com are delighted that HIPs have finally arrived. Next step, though, mandatory HCRs. So let's keep moving forward.
Okay. Hip Hip Hooray, again, mentioning the HCRs.
These bloody Scots get everywhere, don't they?
Yeah, thanks for that, Emma. Was Emma, wasn't it, I believe? I hope. I couldn't possibly attempt to pronounce the surname, sorry.
Leslie.
So, Neil, what do you see going forward? Now you've already had a few jobs come in, I believe, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been working for the best part of 5 months now, Mike, actually. I know it's made the point the other day. I think someone was having a pot shot about something stupid, and I said, well, actually, 1st of August is, I mean, I suppose we're fortunate in some ways that we have been carrying out some work, but it's no change because I don't think we're going to see a dramatic amount of volume in the first couple of weeks in August. So from the energy expert's perspective, we will just, it's very much stay as you are. But of course, for many DEAs, they will get their first request through to carry out EPCs, which is be very exciting all round, I think.
Jim, you've launched the idea. That's where you're going with this. Are you excited about that? You obviously are.
Yeah, well, I'm very, very positive about it, Mike. I just felt that, like most people, I was amazed when I was looking at websites and forums and stuff. The amount of people out there that actually took this opportunity to train as domestic energy assessors. We're not talking hundreds, we're talking thousands. I mean, it's over 8,000 now at the last count and growing. And it was clear that the vast majority of those people didn't have a voice. And I just felt it was a fitting thing to set up an institute for domestic energy assessors. That's been very well received. It's going from strength to strength. In fact, I'm very pleased and proud to actually say that today I've just been officially invited on to a project steering group for future domestic energy assessors qualifications. And as you know from previous podcasts, that's something very close to my heart because the training that's out there now is falling well short of the mark, in my opinion, and we really need to grasp that nettle. If it's going to be a profession, then we need to be training people to a professional standard.
Isn't the time for training come to an end? Let me just get Neil on this, because you've been a bit quiet. Go on, Neil.
Well, yeah, there's definitely a variation in the quality of the training providers. I mean, there's some horrible stories out there about the difference in the training. And I mean, I've known for months and months and months that people have been trained to the wrong syllabus. It's just been a shambles, actually, with certain key training providers. And it wouldn't be, well, it's bad news when they're training a small number of people, but it's devastating when they're training a large number. I know the only reason I effectively went public with the bits and bobs that I knew, 10 days ago, I guess, was that the numbers involved were so large as to affect the rollout of down to three-bedroom properties. I mean, when you start talking in the hundreds, that will cause a delay to the rollout of three-bedroom properties, and I just wasn't prepared to sort of sit back and watch that happen. You know, I think I'm very, very disappointed with the various accreditation, well, the awarding bodies, if you like, for not having any types of quality control in place that are visible. I'm not saying they haven't looked at things, but you know, Abby, I don't know what's going on there. I'd love to be a fly on the wall when they when Abby sit there discussing what's going on with the DEA diplomas. I mean, it's been very disappointing, but it makes it very, very difficult for employers and also for, you know, the general public. I mean, it's bad enough with the scare stories we've had over the last 24 hours, but I'm sat here, sad as I am, having bought the Express and the Mail at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
And
you didn't.
We've got, well, absolutely.
Well, you deserve to be then.
I deserve to be shot, quite frankly, but a home pack stealth tax on the front of the Mail. And then my friendly reporter, who I had a long chat to on Friday, Sarah O'Grady's got with house price chaos on the front page, and you open up and it's HIPs, a disaster for homeowners. Double page spread just inside there. So it's probably a good thing I didn't mention anything too controversial to her, because could have been a slightly different headline. But yeah, I think the variation of training providers, we can't rewind. We can't go back now and change what's the damage that's been done. What we can do, though, is ensure that I mean, I've not seen anything clear or robust coming out of any of the accreditation schemes yet as to what their expectation levels are for CPD. But we really should, maybe the institutes can take a lead now at saying continuing professional development, you know, that there's one or two in the industry, and it's not about naming names now, it's about moving forward. It's simply, these are the types of courses that are going to help people do their job efficiently and effectively.
But to the original question, O'Neill, do you think the training should stop now? Do you think the intake should stop, rather?
Not at all, no.
No,
no. I think we've got a situation where there's going to be a turnover in the industry now. The fee levels have pretty much halved. I think those people who were training, you know, way back when, if you like, just on the initial DEA courses, certainly the fees they were being pushed around were no less than 115, 120. They were up to 150. Whether you choose to believe it or not, those were the figures being pushed around. And now we've got some of the largest, claimed to be the largest companies in the country pushing around numbers at £50 to £65, which is, you know, the fee level's halved. Well, I'm afraid to say that there's an awful lot of people who have got something about them who are just going to take one look and walk.
Yeah.
So therefore, you need to replace those people in the marketplace. The fact that we've got 6,000, 7,000, whatever, that number's irrelevant, because there's an awful lot of part-time people in there now. So there will be a churn rate, and we do need to keep training. But hopefully, the future training can be carried out by people who know what they're on about.
Okay. Before we come to you, Jim, let me just read out a message I've had, another message I've had from Peter Fall of EAGA, that's EAGA Professional Services. He says, looking forward to finally kicking off on August the 1st. All guns blazing, the beer's getting to me, I think. And eagerly awaiting the government to announce full HIP implementation as soon as possible. I think everyone would echo that, Peter. And thanks for your message. To be honest, I've not heard of this company before, but looking on the web, I think they're listed on the stock market. They are quite a large concern, so one to look out for if you've not heard of them yet. So Jim, back to the training. Do you think it's time that the intake should slow down or stop even?
I largely agree with what Neil said earlier. My background, as most people know, is financial services, and two things really. Number one, I think we need to instill the disciplines such as lifelong learning, continuous professional development into the industry. But to directly answer your question, I don't think you can restrict trade. If people want to train to be plumbers or doctors or whatever, obviously you can't stop them. Yes, it's a concern that the numbers are into the 7,000 and 8,000 and more now. But I personally think there's going to be quite a high attrition rate over the next 12 months. By that, what I mean is a lot of people will try the job. And let's be honest, this is a brand new industry. How does somebody with no industry experience training and coming into it, how do they know whether they're going to like it or not? If I sort of compare it with myself as a financial advisor, when I train financial advisors up, if they last 12 months, then they tend to stay in the industry. Most of them that leave the industry leave within the first 12 months. And I think it's going to be a very similar story with domestic energy assessors.
I mean, I think this is the sign of the way the education system has gone. I mean, individual citizens such as us have to, like, make a decision as to whether to spend 3, 4, 5, and in some cases, particularly, I dare say, in your cases, Neil and Jim, over £10,000 based on a leaflet that promises. And the training providers in the commercial world, they've got to sell. They're out there to sell their courses. And they have to, therefore, paint and hype up the rewards that come out of training with them and what comes out at the end. And it's difficult, you know. I mean, people now, as you say, will probably drop out because they can't dip the toe in the water. You pay your money, you take your chance, and if you don't like it or you find you haven't got the aptitude for it, it's too late, isn't it?
Well, possibly. I mean, the way, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I mean, the way, if I was coming into the industry now, the way I would be looking at it is, number one, definitely don't give up your day job. You could try this before you buy it, type of thing. You know, the demand for the domestic energy assessors and HIs, there's going to be a lot of weekend work, a lot of early evening work. You know, the sun's still shining now at 6:30, for example. And to me, that there's no reason why somebody couldn't work this around an existing job. That way, before they commit themselves and give up their full-time job, they're trying the job before they actually commit to it. So, as I said before, I think walk before you run. The other way, of course, is to get an employed position. And with an employed position, you've got other people that you can bounce ideas off, and the learning curve's going to be a lot faster.
Neil? Let me just expand on, or give you Jim's point, really. Would you echo that sentiment that people should really look at this part-time and stay in the current employment?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't give up full-time employment now to enter the industry, even as an employed DEA. I mean, I'm sure that the companies involved won't thank me for saying it, but we are going to see carnage, we are going to see a bloodbath, we are going to see consolidation. Therefore, those individuals who are employed as full-time DEAs are as much at risk as those who are currently self-employed DEAs. It should stabilise and calm down, but that could take 12 to 18 months, after which those people who are employed would certainly have a better job stability, if you like, than those who are self-employed. Quite how the numbers work out, we will only know when the fee levels begin to settle as well.
I mean, isn't it a case that those companies that are employing people, they're going to be I mean, some of them, as in the likes, you know, as we've heard from Christopher Rogers, they've got signed contracts to supply the market with X amount. So these players are going to be favoured for work, because the people that provide them with the work will know that the work will get done because they've got employed staff. So these people who are employed will, for each assessment that they do, gather that much more experience. And as you say, they're in a better position. Should the shit hit the fan at some point for that particular company, then they can easily jump to another company because they've got a CV. Whereas if you're part-time, you're not going to be favoured, are you? Let's face it.
It depends how people are going to market themselves. I mean, one of the things that I recommend, and in fact I'm hands-on involved with here in the northeast of England, is that we all get together in regional groups. And I know this is happening all over the country now, but certainly up in the north, there's a very good, I'll give a plug for this if you don't mind, Mike. There's a very good northeast group headed up by an excellent lady called Pam Duncanson. And they're actually now calling themselves Property Assessors Network. And there's over 50 in that group now. And similarly, over in the Northwest, with Chris Anderton and Pauline and Alison, there's the Property Reports Network. Now, I know that the people that turn up for these meetings are very grateful of that local support. You know, it's good to meet other people. It's good to bounce ideas off each other. And it's good to come to some sort of cooperative working arrangements. And I really think that's the way forward. That should be replicated all over the country.
Point. And I hope to get someone on from Property Reports on at some future point. Neil, did you want to add anything to that, or would you like to read out a message I believe you have?
Oh, I'll go for the message, Mike, actually. So, Paula Tabard of movingwith.biz, and it's movingwith.biz would like to wish all home inspectors and energy assessors good luck and every success for the 1st of August and beyond. And if you haven't registered for our panel, you can still do so via our website at www.movingwith.biz.
Get it in there, Paula. Thanks for that, Paula. And like she says, if anyone's in that part of the country, you're interested in signing up with their panel, you've got the website now. So what should we talk about next? Right. Well, we thought we just had a brief chat before this show, and we thought we'd pass on some personal tips for marketing yourselves. It's only tomorrow now, and you can't just sit at home. If you're not getting the work, you've got to get yourself out there. And you know, I'd like to share some of my tips that I've picked up over the years, which will help people who are not very good at communicating, or if you fancy giving it a shot. But Jim, you've got some tips that you want to share. Share away.
I'm glad to kick it off, Mike. It's an old saying, but it's a very true saying. You only get one chance to make a good first impression. So if you are going to be going out there and courting business from solicitors and estate agents in particular, you really need to be looking professional. And that goes down to things like your business stationery, your ID card, very important, any brochures or leaflets. And finally, also the websites. You can make your own template websites or rent these template websites very cheaply now. And I think it all just adds to the professionalism of what you're trying to convey to a prospect or a customer.
Yes, good point to you. I mean, you've hit on one of my hot spots there, Jim, as you know, websites. Yeah, there are free template sites, and I wish I could name one off the top of my head, but I can't. But there are some free ones, and there are some ones that charge a small fee. Now, don't begrudge that, because these people are putting it out there. And, you know, believe me, some of the professionals charge a lot of money for this. But make sure, please, 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 make sure that they are accessible. Because it's such an important area with this industry that if someone comes across your site, someone who's partially sighted, they will rely on other technologies to access your site. And with this being a commercial and a mandatory necessity, if they can't get to a service local to them and they try your website, then this is not going to look good, believe me. And the Royal National Institute of the Blind are being proactive in this. And although there aren't court cases as of yet, that's only because that they've settled out of court in the instances that I know of. So please make sure they are accessible. And if anyone wants any further information on that, please obviously feel free to ask. Neil, share one of your millionaire tips. How to make a million in a week.
Well, the good news, and this is really very good news, Mike, because this is very hot off the press, okay, is devastating news in the papers this morning. Obviously, hips are coming in, the world's going to end, house price chaos, according to the Express. But the good news is, if you own an estate agent, what happens is the sellers start phoning up, panicking, putting the houses on the market. And fantastically, I had a phone call just before I came on air with you guys, and I'm going around to the house tomorrow, and they're very, very desperate to get the house on the market. So it's one of those classic estate agency conundrums where you just know you're going to get the house. So it's lovely. Yeah. But no, getting back to the point, which is far more important, marketing yourself, I think, is absolutely critical. Appreciating that I've seen best part of 800, well, no, more than that now, 820 different application forms, and obviously covering letters, business cards. We've got files and files and files of the things here now. There is a big, big difference in how people are putting themselves out there, how they're marketing themselves. And it's we've actually got some, you know, some really good examples of, you know, an eye-catching business card comes through, and you just think it just shouts quality at you straight away. You know, that it's good. If it catches the eye, you remember it, you remember the name, then therefore it's more likely to be, you know, to be effective in getting you further business. But I think the tip really for DAs and HIs, to bring it down to a practical level, is your best port of call is in fact your local solicitor firms. I wouldn't so much approach, if you've got a choice, estate agents or solicitors, go to the solicitors every time. Estate agency offices have a relatively high turnover of staff, so even if you get to know someone quite well, within 6 months they may not be there anymore. Not really the case with solicitors. So I would obviously try and get your foot in the door to find out who's there. Follow that up. You may only get to the receptionist, but it's a start. Get a list of who's there. Understand who's heading the conveyancing team, and get a letter to them. Follow all letters have got to be followed up with a follow-up phone call to explain a bit further about yourself, but also to ask if there are any further questions. And it's an opportunity then to say, can I come in and meet you? Have you seen an EPC? I'd like to come in and show you an EPC. Even better, how about offering them an EPC on their own house for free? You do that to a solicitor, you're highly likely to keep their business, or to win their business, but keep it as well, because they'll be hugely impressed with you. And that really would be my top tip, is to keep going for your local solicitor firms. Even if you feel you've lost out in the short term and someone else has got their foot in the door, no reason to, if you can go and meet with them, get their business card, say, I'd like to keep you informed with what I'm up to, and just in case, you know, the door's open for the future. And every month or every 6 weeks, 8 weeks, get an email to them. Give them an update. Give them a newsletter. Give them something to let them know that you're still around. That way, you are setting your business up for your future.
Absolutely.
That's it,
Mike. Yeah, no, I think that it's particularly in this industry, it's about relationships. It's not a wham-bam, thank you, ma'am. It might be with the householder, but the conduit to which you get to these householders will be, or is a good way, would and should be, through the estate agents, through the conveyancers and the solicitors, and to build relationships with them. So even if you don't get on first time, keep in touch and keep your name there, and be friendly and don't burn bridges. But we'll discuss this a bit more after we've had another message, which I have.
Before we do that, Mike, can I just add one other category to that? The other people not to forget are the mortgage brokers. There's a lot of mortgage brokers out there who have got big client banks. All the clients have got houses. The clients very often speak to the mortgage broker before they go and speak to the estate agent. So when it comes to the sort of referral marketing, if you can build up a rapport with one or two local mortgage brokers in your area, they too could be a good source of future referral business for you.
Well, we'll carry on with this. I just want to read out this one. I've been Alex Rogers, who you all know, and if you don't, you should know, has been on a past podcast. He was the first one to come out from the industry and actually speak to everybody, and for that we are eternally grateful. And he's been extremely busy, but I managed to hassle him enough last week to eventually get something from him, and I'll read it out now. He couldn't make a recording because of technical difficulties at that time, as we say in the trade. He said, Mike, if you take your foot off my throat, I will be more than happy to give you a message. I just need to get this bet on at Ladbrokes first, which we understand, being a Scouser. He says, thank you to everybody who have approached us over the weeks and months. Finally, we are at the point where we can all move forward and begin our new careers. It's been a long time coming, and even though it's only a nervous start, it's a start nonetheless. On behalf of all at Christopher Rogers, we wish you all the very best in your new careers. Thanks, Alex. He, believe it or not, because I didn't hear from him after doing his podcast, I thought, probably didn't go too well for him, I don't know. But in fact, he's just been too busy to actually get back to me, and he had a fantastic response. He was well made up. So everybody that contacted him, as a result of listening to him on the podcast, thank you for mentioning it, at least. He was really made up, and it really filled me with much joy, to put it politely. I could swear and say it was better than that, but it was. It was heartening to know. Okay, let's go back to marketing. One of the things that I did years ago, which had a good response, is, and this might appeal to people who are not really confident at making cold calls, is to identify locally all the businesses that would are in your market, basically estate agents and solicitors, etc., and draft up some form of copy. It doesn't have to be a brochure and a glossy brochure. Just an A4 with a big headline at the top, and this is, I can't remember word for word what it said, but it was along the lines of, "Good morning, please enjoy a cup of tea on us whilst you read this." And then we just list the services that we provide. But here was the trick. Stuff it in an envelope and put a tea bag in that envelope. And then go out of an evening and just post it through all the doors. Don't put it in the post. Post it personally, because they'll know, with not being a stamp on it, they'll obviously know. And try and find out the name as well of the person to address it to. And I can tell you that we got some phone calls from doing that, because it's unusual. They're not expecting anything like that. It's cheeky as well, and it works. And like Neil said, follow it up. Make a note of everyone you talk to, all these businesses, and get names for everybody that's responsible for making the decisions. And keep it in a database or on a piece of pen and paper, and keep continually presenting yourself to these people. Anything to add, lads? Anyone want to talk about telesales? Or anyone does telesales?
No.
Nope.
No.
Definitely not.
You're kidding.
Definitely
not.
Why?
No. Because people buy people.
Jim's right. Absolutely right.
Well, how do you think I got all these messages, lads? I didn't go out personally to knock on the doors.
Yeah, but that's because you're a famous podcast celebrity now, mate.
Hey, do you know what? I was speaking to... I've got a message off him, actually. I should let me dig it up. Oh, we are. I spoke with I think his name is I do apologise. I think his name was Nick, but if I'm wrong, please come down and personally hit me. But anyway, when I rang it up, I spoke to Now Energy Limited, and I spoke to a guy. I think his name was Nick. I said
Martin.
No. I'm getting to that. And I said, my name's Mike Crowley. I've been doing these series of podcasts over the last few months. And he goes, "I recognise your voice." And I was like, "Oh, no way." So I can formally announce that as a result of these podcasts, my voice is now fairly famous across the country. And if you go down to King's Cross or Euston Station, you shall hear me announcing the next train. Okay, I've got a...
I wasn't sure... Is it your voice, Mike, or is it just the heavy breathing I recognise?
I try my best to edit those out, Neil. These images you keep emailing me, that's the only reason the heavy breathing occurs. But it's just between me, you, and everyone else now. So anyway, eventually, Martin Hughes of Now Energy Limited, he was actually on holiday, hence why the discussion was with this other chap, who I'll call Nick for now. And he actually rang me back from holiday to make special effort, and he gave the following message. Firstly, to all those who have made it this far, congratulations. Many have fallen by the wayside before now in the face of adversity. So if you have stayed the course and have achieved your domestic energy assessor or home inspector diploma, you have shown that you have some of the attributes of success. Today, we stand on the brink of a new industry, and in this fledgling profession, there will be a wonderful opportunities for those that truly understand how this business will operate and are prepared to work hard to achieve their goals. There have been many unexpected twists and turns along the way, and no doubt there will be more to come. But winners understand that for every problem, there is an opportunity. So whatever your business plan, implement it with determination and integrity, and without disparaging others whose plans may differ from yours. And remember, other people and things can stop you temporarily, but you're the only one who can do it permanently. So thanks, Martin. That was a nice message. And as I say, he's the Managing Director of Now Energy Limited, who called in especially to make that announcement from holiday.
Very good.
Telesales. This is, I believe, this is an important part of any marketer's toolbox. And I just want to show you something. I just want to share with you something, actually, and give you a demonstration of how it should be done.
I'm going to help you.
Hello?
Hello, how can I help?
Hello, yes. Could I have a picture in London, please?
A what store in London?
Hip.
How are you spelling that, please?
Is it E-P-C? Hip.
I'll just transfer you to supervisor. It won't be a moment.
Thank you.
I suppose you don't watch telly and know who phone jacker is, do you?
I haven't got a clue.
Oh, no. Have you noticed the people on the forum saying, good afternoon, madam? People have been saying it on the forum, so I thought it would be quite apt if they had that. If you watch Phone Jacker on Channel 4 or E4, which they're on quite a bit at the moment, it's just some guy who's dressed up in a terrorist outfit who makes these stupid calls to people and wind people up. And that was an example.
You need to get out more than it, Mike.
I know.
Is the guy waiting for his accreditation to come through?
This is the same guy, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
I don't think we should go into this politically sensitive area too much when we're talking about terrorism, needless to say. I just thought I'd add that in for a bit of light relief. No, but I do believe telesales should be, if anyone's confident in doing it, it is a tool, and it can be effective. And particularly in this, when you're not asking for any money over the phone, you're merely just introducing yourself. And it's difficult for some people to do. But don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. All you have to do is ring up and introduce yourself and just say, hi, my name's... I'm just introducing myself. I've been studying domestic energy and now I'm ready to go. And I'm wondering, do you have anyone to serve you yet? Do you have anyone on board or have you contracted to anyone who can look after you locally? And then explain the reasons... the benefits of dealing with you, because you are, if you're going to do this individually, you are in competition, let's face it, with the panels, etc. But there are estate agents and solicitors who would rather deal with local people, because then they're not dealing with a call centre in Scotland. No offence, Jim, I know that's your part of the world. And they would prefer to deal with someone who's local, who knows the area. So don't underestimate that as your unique selling point. And you build relationships with these people. And even if you don't get anything, don't, as we keep saying, don't dismiss it out of hand. Don't get disheartened and don't bow out on a bad note and keep persisting and just say, well, let's not burn bridges at this moment. You know, something might happen in the future and, you know, you might want to know that you can call on me anytime. And here's my phone number and I'll pop you an email or I'll pop you a letter in the post so that you know about me. That's all it is. We're just people at the end of the day, and even if they hide behind words like managing director, they're just people, and they need your services. Anything to add to that, lads?
Yeah, sounds great, Mike. I'll buy two.
What are we talking? Oh, no, okay. Anything else that you want to... Any more tips? What else is there? We've done mail shots. Go on.
There's another message here I'd like to read out, if I can. Right,
go on.
It's from a fellow... Sava Fast Track 1 candidate. He's not very well known, this chap. It's somebody called Ryan Powell.
Ryan.
I believe he's got a little forum somewhere for home inspectors. So this is Ryan's words, not mine, although it could be mine as well. The home inspector forum has been both a blessing and a curse for many of us over the last 2 years, not least myself. From Wednesday, we now have the chance to prove ourselves in both our ability and our professionalism to all those who have doubted us. On behalf of myself and everyone that has supported the HI Forum, we wish you all the best for a long and prosperous future and look forward to your continued debate and discussion as part of the HI and DEA community. Well done, Ryan.
Well done, Ryan. Thanks for that. He has been a lifesaver, hasn't he, for a lot of people. Well, the forum has.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a great success, and all credit to him. You know, he's a very quiet guy, just gets on with things behind the scenes, but the formula is a winner.
As you say, he's a quiet bloke. It's been a centre point for a lot of people, and it's. I know he's taken some flack from it from certain quarters. And it takes some guts to withstand that. And at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, it's a place that is that just rapid fires the news. As soon as it comes in, it just spreads. I don't know what we would have done without it, to be honest. Have you got anything to add to that, Neil?
No, I mean, I think it's been a fantastic resource for a lot of people. I mean, you're right, it is the... you know, it's the centre in terms of news, but also it's helped a lot of people as well. The technical areas have been very helpful for, there's new candidates coming through all the time, and they're asking questions which for those people who have now been qualified for 6 months, they look at these questions and think, oh, you know, that's just, it's a bit basic, isn't it, really? But, you know, it's easy to forget. It's like driving a car, really. Everyone's got to go through each individual step at their own sort of speed. And of course, if they go through and understand it all, pass the exams, then they're ready to go, ready to practice as a DEA. So I think the technical areas have been very helpful. And of course, recently now, we've got the addition of the green area. That's somewhere for our thriving greenies to give us lots of hints and tips. Which of course all links in with the EPC, and it's the right thing to do.
It is, and it was something I felt was missing. And thanks to, I think his name is Simon, isn't it? But he goes under the moniker of something like Black and Green or something like that. He's been really spearheading the campaigning for this additional forum, and it is only right. I mean, this is the whole environment in which everyone is operating is because of the green issue, the climate change issue. I think it's only pertinent at this point to remember that there are thousands of people, tens of thousands of people at this very moment who are in dire straits because of the recent floods we've had, and it's only right that we mention them. And they will include, I dare say, some of our own, if you like, domestic energy assessors and home inspectors who have also been troubled by this and will be troubled by this going future, because they will be operating in these markets.
That includes Ryan as well, Mike, actually. He was in a crisis the other day because he thought he might lose his broadband connection for a day or two.
Okay. Let me just take this opportunity then and roll in another message. It seems that every time I have this bloke come on, there is some cock-up technologically-wise, usually down to me, that prohibits me recording him. I don't know whether he's jinxed or what, but anyway, Philip Salomon, Quidos, who came on the podcast, as you all know, or should know, did an excellent interview for us, and Philip Salomon says, "We, of course, wish everyone the very best for the future. Now we are finally here. It has been a traumatic time for many, and Quidos, for one, thank you and yours for hanging in there. Whilst we should rightly celebrate a new chapter, we do realise there is still a way to go before work becomes plentiful for everybody. It is important, therefore, that we not hold our expectations of work too high during this phasing in period, and instead look to build on the new skills learned with the work we do get. Good luck and good fortune to you all." Same to you, Phil. Thanks for that. And I do apologise, but I did try today, just in case you were available to do another recording. So what other tips have we got, fellas? Have we got anything else to add? Go on, Neil.
Well, refuse to work anyone who's going to pay you silly fees.
Yeah, and another important point I would say is when it comes to marketing yourself, do that within your own industry as well. Get to know your local home inspectors and domestic energy assessors. Get involved in the local meetings. And another point that might sound strange coming from the chairman of a new institute, don't let the organisations or the institutes take over these meetings. These meetings are not for national organisations, they're for local groups. There's absolutely no reason why members of IHI, members of NALI and members of IDEA can't all go to local meetings and share ideas together. It's certainly working well in the north of the country, and I'm sure it's working in other parts of the country as well.
I'd echo that. I mean, although essentially everybody could be competing with each other, it's a co-opetition, really. I mean, Property Reports Network are a testament to that, that they can, hopefully they'll get it to work smoothly and soundly in everybody's interest. Do you want to?
Yeah, I mean, there's some excellent people. I mean, sorry if you can't name names for everybody, but I mean, there's also the HI West group as well, Richard Large and Ed Chamberlain. Andrew Edmondson, the Sussex IDAs. There's lots of good guys out there that are more than willing to share ideas and help. And for new people coming into the industry, that's really got to be a godsend to them.
Let me just play another message.
Well, I'm Paul Steady. I work for LMS Surveys and Valuations. I head up the valuations and home energy department, and I've been with LMS since the beginning of the year, and I've been on the long and rocky journey of EPCs for several years working with a number of organisations, and it finally looks like we're getting to the point of delivery. So I wish you all the very, very best, and hope that everybody who's become a domestic energy assessor has a very fruitful career in domestic energy assessing, and wish you all the very best. Thank you.
And that was Paul Staley, who is director of, Home Evaluation Surveys, for which we thank you, Paul. It's last minute. He came on, rang me back this afternoon, and was keen to get on there. Thanks for that, Paul. So, last words. What would you like to say? Oh, hang on a sec. I've got another one. Stephen Callahan, propertycareers.com. I do apologise, Stephen. Just a short and sweet one. Propertycareers.com wishes all its graduates best wishes for 1st of August and beyond. I note he only extended that wish to all graduates of theirs, but I'm going to extend that and spread it out a little love to everybody else as well. Thanks, Stephen. So, yeah, last words of encouragement, advice, tips, whatever you want, Neil.
The fun begins now, doesn't it, Mike? I think we finally can start work, which is marvellous news. And I think now it's a question of staying positive, staying professional, and really getting ourselves organised, because the workload is just going to get larger and larger over the next 6 months.
Jim?
Well, as Neil said right at the beginning of the podcast, it's not going to be very busy between now and probably February of next year, but try and look at that in a positive way. I think quality is better than quantity. It's a chance for people to ease themselves into this new industry. It's a chance for you to take your time, make sure that everything's right, because, you know, if you don't have the time to get things right first time, when are you going to get the chance to do it over? So it's not a race. Take your time, make sure you're doing everything carefully, methodically, taking lots of photographs, lots of site notes, and covering your backsides, and good luck to everybody.
Yes, and I will echo that. The train has left the platform, and as you know, it's difficult to stop a train once it's moving. So there is that much that we should all be thankful for, and it can only go faster. We've got the social housing coming on in addition to the four beds, plus let's not forget three beds. God knows when they're going to come on, but please let's hope they do come on at least before Christmas. And then we've got the commercial rollout, which will be happening next year sometime, I dare say. So there are careers in here, and don't forget, the first people in should, all being well, start progressing up their respective career ladders. There'll be a swathe of you who will become middle managers in all this. So even though there's quite a lot of people coming through the system, they will need managing, and there will be opportunities there for everybody as well. So best of luck to everybody. And so from me, Mike C, Jim.
Well, actually, Mike, in the past you've given us all a chance to pimp our websites, and I have one before, but
yep,
I've got a new one now, and I'd like to pimp it, please.
I do apologise. Please pimp away, you randy sod.
Not only are HIPS going live on Wednesday, but so too is the Institute of Domestic Energy Assessors. The website for that is whatstheidea.net.
Whatstheidea.net. Neil, pimp away.
It's the three W's, and it's nrgexperts.co.uk. You can see what the company is, what we're up to, have a look at the newsletter, have a look at the blog, and if you haven't registered, you get an opportunity to download registration form, which you can return, and I will keep you up to date with what's going on within the company.
Thank you, Neil, Jim, and I suppose there is only one left to do, www.energy-performance-certificates.org. And I'll just, whilst everyone's pimping their services in addition to the website, well, this is not a services, but I've been working on a beta edition of a bit of a Finder DEA directory. Oh, Jim will be saying, and Jim, and the other Jim. But the truth is, these are going to be two a penny, and it's something I've...
Don't worry, we forgive you.
There is a Google map on there. It'll have a proximity boundary from which, so if you work 35 miles distance from your home, it'll have a circle drawn around that area. None of them are being shown publicly at the moment, but it's not far away. Anyone that is already signed up and you want to update your profile, please do so. It's something extra, isn't it? in this breeze. Well, thank you everybody for listening. We've said it until we're blue in the face now. Good luck and good fortune, and tune in for the next time if there is one.
Goodbye, everyone.
Cheerio. Best of luck. Performance certificate.